Could you just share a little bit more about eternal rewards?
Right. One of the clearest teachings in all of Scripture is the doctrine of eternal reward. I mean, it's everywhere. It's actually shocking. It's everywhere you look, and sometimes we don't even see it. I remember when I was writing my book, Money, Possessions, and Eternity, I thought, well, I'm going to do a section of the book on rewards. At first, I thought a chapter on rewards. It ended up being four chapters on rewards, and even then, I had to leave out a lot of it because it was shocking. First of all, it was shocking how much the Bible has to say about money, but that's something that, you know, a lot of people point that out. And so all of a sudden, what I thought was going to be a sermon series of four messages, and even then I thought, whoa, is there enough for four messages? And there's enough for, you know, 60, 80 messages. And even then, you're not going to exhaust it. So, and then the part on rewards, you know, same thing. In terms of what rewards are, well, let me back up and say, okay, one example among many of rewards that are offered us for giving would be in Matthew 6, that starts out by telling us that we're to do our giving not in order to be seen by people, but in order to be seen by God, who will reward us. And that's in verses like 1 and 2 of Matthew 6. Then move forward to verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal and all of that. But instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So there's an example of calling people to give treasures. That word means earthly wealth, but then another kind of wealth that is going to be given to us in heaven. And the word treasure is used in both cases, but I don't think the treasures he's talking about are simply, it's not like gold and jewels and money. Who's going to need any of those in heaven? But the idea is, if you take what God has entrusted to you and store it up in heaven by giving it away to the poor, the needy, to worthy causes, things that bring people to Christ and give relief for people who are persecuted and things like that, then that will be something that will be awaiting you in heaven. So, as I say in my book, The Treasure Principle, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. That's what Jesus is saying. And so we can take the temporary treasures that we're going to be parted from anyway. Either they will outlast us or we will outlast them. But anyway you look at it, we're going to die and leave this world. And store up treasures in heaven. That's an example of the kind of rewards that Scripture's talking about. Now, what those rewards actually are and what they look like, we at least got some hints, because we've got a number of passages where God talks about rewarding us by, like, the parable of somebody's put over five cities and somebody else is put over 10 cities. So that's a position of authority and responsibility that will be given to us in the kingdom of God. And a lot of people say, well, that doesn't even make any sense. In heaven, there's not going to be any of that social structure. There's not going to be like government or anything like that. Well, in fact, there is, because Scripture talks about that on the new earth. It talks about it in Daniel 7, where the people of God will reign forever. They will rule the earth to the glory of God forever. And then you actually see that in Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 66. And then you see it, in, of course, in Revelation 21 and 22, where the kings of the nations of the earth will bring their splendors, sometimes translated treasures, into the New Jerusalem. And I think they will be laid at the feet of Jesus as tribute. That would be similar to what you see with the crowns that are cast before him at his feet. Sometimes eternal rewards are depicted as crowns. And again, whether it's a literal crown or not, a crown, even a literal crown, symbolizes a treasure that we he is acknowledging us, yet we are acknowledging him back and giving him the credit and giving him the glory. And by the way, in that regard, I sometimes they say, people will say, you don't take all this stuff literally about treasures, do you? I go, well, literal in the sense that they will be things we will treasure, you know. So you can look at a wedding ring. I still have mine on and no intentions of taking it off, but it's my actual original wedding ring was not that fancy, but it was lost water skiing. So I've got this at a Christian supply store that I got however many years ago for $10 or whatever, but it's still meaningful to me because it symbolizes something. Okay. So the ring is a symbol, but it's also a real ring. So will we wear white robes? I mean, the white robes symbolize purity, but will we still wear them? You know, maybe. And will we have crowns? Well, maybe we will. I can't imagine us wearing the crowns all around all the time. And I don't think probably most kings and queens are doing that. And it would seem a little strange to do that. It seems like it would draw attention to yourself, although our hearts will be pure and maybe it will just draw attention to the Lord. But the point of eternal rewards is we don't know the exact shape they'll take, but I think responsibility. You've been faithful in a little, I'll put you over much. God will entrust us with responsibilities that the government of the new earth, the family business, we're part of the family of God. The family business is ruling the world to his glory. And he's going to delegate that to us. And what a privilege. And I sometimes have people, you know, there's so much wrong thinking about eternal rewards. And some people say, gosh, we shouldn't be motivated by rewards. That's crass. That's just inappropriate. And they say, well, how about we let God decide how we should be motivated? Now, of course, rewards shouldn't be our only motivation. Our primary motivation is love. Love for God, love for people. But there's also hope of reward and promise of reward. And there's also fear of consequences. If I do the wrong thing, I'll be punished for it, not just directly by the hand of God, but even indirectly, because scripture makes clear that the right thing is always the smart thing and the wrong thing is always the stupid thing. So I think we don't know the exact form eternal rewards will take, but whatever they are and however they look, we will be grateful for them. God will be glorified in them. And more than anything else, we should not think about wanting rewards for our benefit, but for the glory of God. If our Father wants to reward us because he's so delighted with our service, who are we to question him? You know, if eternal rewards were our idea, that would be entirely different. And I'll wrap up this question by saying an illustration I give of that, and I think my book, The Law of Rewards, and it may also be in Money, Possessions, and Eternity, is suppose that when my daughters were young, they were in high school, I said, okay, girls, on Saturday, we're going to have a family work day. Yay. But I am going to pay you so much for the work you do. And I think when I originally used the illustration, it was many years ago when it was like $20 or $30 a day. And I think now we'd say something like, I'll pay you $60 or $80 or more, whatever. It just depends on whatever minimum wage is, wherever you happen to be, but at least that much to do this. And I'm going to pay you and you can do whatever you want with the money. And then we're going to get cleaned up and we're going to go out for a great dinner. Your dad will take you out to a great dinner. Okay. So suppose I said that to my daughters and their response was, no, Dad, we don't want you to pay us and we don't want you to take us out to a nice dinner. It's our duty. We don't want to be motivated by rewards, but only by, if we love you, we'll keep your commandments and that's it. Okay. How would that have made me feel? Well, not good. It would have made me feel really disappointed. I want them to want the rewards that I offer them. But suppose I hadn't offered them any rewards and just say, hey, we're a family. It's a family work day. And that'd be fine. And we're all going to work. And then what if they came to me and said, Dad, we're not going to do this unless you pay us this much per hour and take us out to a nice dinner. Okay, so that'd be terrible. So what's the difference between those? And the difference is, whose idea was this? Eternal Rewards is God's idea for us, not our idea.